$5 with nothing better to do. Let's sit around the house, get high and watch it too. And here's what happened when they decided to cut loose. They headed down to El Paso. I swear they ran into a great big hassle. Billy Joe shot a man while robbing his castle. Bobby Sue took the money and run.
To talk with George Norrie, call the wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Headed down south and they're still running today.
Hear that? That's the sound of the heat coming off the phone lines. They're jammed. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with our guest, Andre Eglishon, on Coast to Coast. Andre, does the United States get any credit around the world in Europe for the things we've done to help save them from wars and some of the things they've been on the brink of disaster with?
Yes, we have historically been loved all over the world. It is unfortunately our contemporary Middle Eastern policies which has eroded a lot of the affection that has been displayed towards America by most of the world, including Europe, no question about it. But people in the developing world clearly understand that our aid has come with some very harsh strings attached to it.
The silver certificates that I still see floating around, are they different from the Federal Reserve notes?
Absolutely. When the silver certificates were first introduced into circulation, they were fully backed by silver. You can take those silver certificates just as you could any Federal Reserve note when it was first established. When it was written on the money, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private, and is redeemable in lawful money. You could take that $100 bill to any Federal Reserve bank and they'd have to give you $100 in silver. Today, if you take that silver certificate to the Federal Reserve and say, give me lawful money, they will give you back another $100 Federal Reserve note.
Yeah, they will. They will.
It's completely irredeemable.
Let's go to the phones. Lots of people want to talk with you, Andre, so let us not waste any time. We shall go west of the Rockies. First of all, you're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Otilia from California.
Hello, Otilia. How are you?
Hi. I agree with your guest you have on your program. I've known about this, the Federal Reserve Board,
mm-hmm.
and it's amazing that people don't want to listen to. I have a book in my hand right now called The Unseen Hand, written by a young man that when he graduated from college, his name is Ralph Apperson, out of Arizona. And he tried to get this book published by a publisher, a large publisher, and they wouldn't handle it. So he had to go to Tucson, have a small publisher just do the book for him. But the book is in the registered in the catalog in the Congress Library. And I agree with your guest. And also, you know, you stated something about getting rid of this the 12 Reserve Boards. Well, Voorhees, out of California, back in 1946, he tried to do that. He tried to get the congressman to dissolve this Federal Reserve system and get the 12 banks under the owners, private ownership of the member banks, ownership of the United States. But they wouldn't do that. And before you know it, at the time when Nixon was in that trouble, and he's the one that defeated Voorhees.
And thanks for your call, dear. Yeah. I appreciate it. What's it going to take, Andre, for the change? I mean, what calamity could occur because of this system?
It would take a monetary crisis along the lines of what we had in the 1930s. I think our population today is far more educated than what it was in 1929, and the people would begin to stand up, confidence would be undermined in the system, and they would join with those of the mind of Representative Charles Lindbergh, who warned about the privately owned central banks and the havoc that they could create in our economy, and Congressman Lewis McFadden and others, and Representative Ron Paul today, they would join with them and they would demand meaningful monetary reform. That's what it's going to take. It's, unfortunately, it's going to take an economic calamity like we've never seen before, and then the people will demand a change.
The title of your book is called Thieves in the Temple. How come?
Well, I got that title from basically the Bible. You see, during the time of the Messiah, the temple was the center of commerce. Although Herod ruled Galilee during his life, the real power was in the Sanhedrin Council. And it's the only time the Messiah ever used force in his ministry. What they were doing was they were charging whatever the market could bear for the only legal tender used to pay the temple tax. Also, if you would go there to buy or sell a commodity, because it was the center of commerce, say you came to buy 50 pounds of wheat, the priest would reach into his bag and he would take out a weight that said 50 pounds, but it only weighed 40 pounds. So he'd sell you 40 pounds of wheat, and he's charging you for 50 pounds of it. There were thieves in the temple then, and our Federal Reserve is the temple of our monetary policy, and its operating principle is inherently flawed. It's wrong.
And the person who wanted to change that, the thieves in the temple, was killed by them.
He was murdered 3 days after he overturned the tables of the money changers. And they didn't care anything about him going around preaching and converting people away from the Sadducees and Pharisees. But once he began to stick his nose into the monetary affairs of ancient Israel at that particular time, he had to go.
First time caller line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, we're doing fine, thanks.
I'm looking forward to meeting Andre this weekend at the Freedom Rally. I'm going to be there, and I want to know something about the Iraq War. My personal opinion is that's more about reserve currency in trade for oil than it is about the oil itself. I'll hang up and go ahead.
All right. We talked a little bit about that, Andre. You can elaborate again if you want.
Yes, we did talk about that previously. Saddam Hussein began converting his dollar reserves into euros back in November of 2001. It sparked a momentum in OPEC to do the same thing. And if oil ever becomes a euro-backed commodity, the ripple effect and the rise of oil prices, because we would have to convert our U.S. dollars into euros in order to buy the oil, would be catastrophic for our economy. It could turn America into a third world country. That momentum could not be allowed to stand, so they took him out.
How close is China to switching over from dollars to euros? I mean, are they still playing around with that?
Yeah, they're being courted right now by the Europeans to do just that. And the Chinese have already said, look, you know, we are going to destroy America. And that was a statement that was made by the People's Liberation Army Colonel Kuo Liang in China. He said in order to become a dominant global power of the United States, they're going to emphasize the final war over resources must be won. So the question with China is, can we continue to exploit China's industrialization and not commit suicide? I mean, it's the same dilemma we were in when Wall Street beginning to finance the Bolshevik Revolution back in 1917. Lenin said, yeah, we'll take your money, but you're laboring in preparation for your own suicide because we're going to use your resources that you're giving us to destroy you one day.
Go ahead, finish.
And in 1962, we almost came to that point over the Cuban Missile Crisis. So, you know, because we're trying to facilitate the greed of a few, the many are hanging in the balance. We're in harm's way.
Do we have people smart enough to fix this?
Yes. If we got people smart enough to send probes into space and to heal all manner of maladies in our bodies, we can certainly straighten out our monetary policy. We just have to return to a system based on honesty and not based on the debauchery of currency and on usury. We could straighten it out tomorrow. The Treasury Department can assume this responsibility, and they should. But they won't, because these privately owned central banks are so powerful, and the system has become so intrinsically interwoven into our economy that to overturn the Federal Reserve system is almost impossible. I'm just trying to raise awareness in people's heart and mind as to what the problem is, so that whenever we do reach the type of crisis that I fear may befall our country one day, we will know what to ask for. And that is a central bank that is run by the people of the United States, not by a private cartel.
Wildcard line, it's your turn with Andre Eglishon. Go ahead.
Good morning, George and Andre. This is just absolutely a fantastic show. I'm hard to know where to start. But one thing that I'm aware of from my husband and I having done our own research is that the American people are paying for their own economic demise. And one way that this is done, because it is so artful, is that every time a person accepts that they are a citizen of the United States, they are placing themselves under the jurisdiction of the laws of the District of Columbia, which makes them liable for income tax and a whole bunch of other things.
You're absolutely correct. She's hit the nail right on the head.
Not enough people know this. My husband and I recently opened a checking account at a larger bank, and when we looked there for different categories of you a U.S. citizen or whatever, we said that we are not citizens of the United States, and there it was in black and white boilerplate that we're not liable for the income tax.
You're right. She's right.
Absolutely.
And the average person does not know that.
Thanks for your call. Years ago in, I believe, Royal Oak, Michigan, my old hometown area, there was a radio priest called Father Charles Coughlin. I don't know if you remember him, Andre. You were too young like I was, really. I studied him in broadcasting, but he was a militant priest who had his own radio show. But one of the things he used to expose, he talked about trying to do away with the Federal Reserve. And ultimately, I think it was his undoing.
It could have been. I mean, no one challenges the Fed and survives, and I wonder why did I write this book. You know, people that do things like that, I think we have a case of the Cain Helpitz. I mean, I really love my country, as I've said. I love the people in America, and we have to understand that when we talk about this, things like the previous caller said that she did not check the box to say that she was an American citizen. I'm sure that she loves this country, no question about it, but she's taking steps to protect herself. And that's what the Constitution was written for. It was to protect us, not from foreign enemies. It was to protect us from ourselves.
Yeah, sure was. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Yeah, Scott from Gallipolis, Ohio.
Hi, Scott. Go ahead. It's all yours.
Enjoying the show, George, Andre. My question is, who is to blame for all this? I mean, do we have a name? Do we have an individual we can go to and pinpoint? Or is it just like the Area 51, nobody knows anything, nobody knows who's in charge, or they're just not willing to go ahead and give up a name, so you actually go and say, hey, look, this is the individual that's caused this problem or won't let us rectify this problem?
Well, all of the men that created the Federal Reserve that hatched this egg in Jekyll Island are all dead and gone now. Nelson Aldridge, who was the father-in-law of John D. Rockefeller, Paul Warburg, Benjamin Strong, Frank Vanderlip, A. Andrew, Henry Davidson, Charles Norton, all these guys are dead and gone, and the system, we only have ourselves to blame now.
Right.
Ultimately.
And the Constitution that you were talking about, if it is the Constitution, then who makes the final decision here? Let's go ahead and go back to this. You know, is Congress to go ahead and take the initiative and say, hey, we've had enough. We need to go ahead and fix this.
everyone that has listened to this show tonight and everyone that buys my book, Thieves in the Temple of America Under the Federal Reserve System, should take it upon themselves to writing their congressman, asking them to support Ron Paul in monetary reform in this country today and restoring what the Constitution says should exist in America, not a privately owned central bank. The founding fathers were against this. They clearly understood the tyranny that these banks posed to any nation because they understood the threat that it posed in England, and they fought against them. Andrew Jackson fought against the Second Bank of the United States, which was our third failed experiment with a privately owned central bank. He called them a den of vipers. He said, "I will rout you out by the eternal God. I intend to rout you out." And there were two assassination attempts against Andrew Jackson. So Congress has it within their authority to abolish the Federal Reserve System, but they won't do it because we won't put the pressure on them.
All right, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Wild Card Line, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Ron. Go ahead, sir.
I'm Roland Cross, Buckeye.
All righty. Go ahead, Ron.
Hi, Andrew. Hi, George. You almost touched base with a silver certificate. Back in the day, I got a few bills back at the house that they say payable upon demand in gold to the bearer or something to that effect. If we debunk the Federal Reserve, what will our bills be backed by?
Well, we can have a fiat currency as long as we issue those notes in exact demands, in exact proportion to the demands of trade. Then the debt will be, we won't be in these type dire straits that we're in right now. But because a bank makes its money by collecting interest on the loans that it lends out, then they can continue to allow corrupt institutions in our country to, like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, to run amok, and then they're going to bail them out, and they're going to collect a windfall in interest. The colonists did it with colonial script. Lincoln did it with the greenbacks, and it worked well. There's not, you know, we don't have to have it backed by gold. Indeed, most economists will tell you today that a gold-backed currency in a modern economy has no constructive role. And then there's not enough gold to really back up our currency supply. So we need an elastic currency in order to facilitate an expanding industrialized society. But we don't need that currency issued by a private bank that has a debt attached to it. The Treasury Department can do it. And then we need to make sure that our congressmen don't borrow us into oblivion, that they resist the lust of their eyes and spend what they need to spend and no more. They need to trim the pork in Washington, D.C.
How come politicians don't bring this up during election campaigns?
Well, none of them have the guts. And unfortunately, because banks control, banks and corporations control the news media, anybody that says that we should nationalize the bank will be, you know, castigated as a nut in the media. And it's sad, it's so sad that we're laboring for the preparation of our own suicide, but that's what we're doing.
Well, what's so ironic, too, is those political contributions are probably kept in the banks that they'd be knocking.
That is exactly right.
You go to get the funds and you can't get them out.
That's exactly right. Abraham Lincoln said, look, I see a future approaching that I see a near future, a crisis approaching that unnerves me and calls me to tremble for the safety of my country. Corporations have been enthroned. An era of corruption will follow, and the money power of the country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudices of the people until the wealth is aggregated in a few hands and the republic destroyed.
If you could change it right now, how would you start?
I would start, first of all, by abolishing the Federal Reserve System, having the Treasury Department assume the role of a central bank in our country, and that would be the very first step. That would be the first thing that I would
do. What would you do, though, so you would not cause economic panic with people?
Well, that is a problem. The people would have to be educated as to what role a central bank plays in a society, and it would take education. You know, it would take a psychological preparation. Look, if the Council on Foreign Relations through their psychological operations that were implemented in the 1940s, can get America to love the Japanese and the Germans today, and they made us hate them during World War II, then certainly they can use their power to make the American people understand what are the protocols of a sane monetary policy, but they refuse to do it.
Well, and that's the important thing, too. I think there'd have to be some kind of a calming. Do you think, you really think, Andre, this is going to change?
No, I don't. To be absolutely honest, it's so sad.
You are honest.
I don't think it's going to change. I don't think, because the American people, we have been so dumbed down in this country. They have us so preoccupied with entertainment. And then we're on a treadmill. We're working so hard that people don't have time to sit down and read the kind of books that they need to read. They need to read books like The Unseen Hand, like my book, Thieves in the Temple, America Under the Federal Reserve System, in order to have some perspective on where we are in the world today. They have us so stressed out that that the chances that the American people will ever rally to the Constitution and to the prosperity and the future of their children is slim. Very slim, and they have the media out there to continue to brainwash the American people. They got the Wall Street cheerleaders on some of these financial shows to brainwash the American people. They have us tied into Wall Street now, and with the privatization of Social Security, then we're all are going to have a vested interest in wanting to see this system perpetuated and not reformed.
We'll be back in a moment. We'll take the rest of your calls on Coast to Coast AM.
The official website of Coast to Coast AM is www.coasttocoastam.com. Log on now.
I want to pay my bills. I want money.
Code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
On our next Coast to Coast program, a couple guests. First hour, Amanda Swiston. She's a Hollywood actress who has been stalked by a serial killer. and it led her to begin writing columns for Maxim Magazine UK on serial killers. And then our full program will be with Dr. Helen Morrison. She has profiled more than 80 serial killers over a 25-year period. So we'll have a very special night tomorrow on Coast to Coast AM. Andre, you talk about synchronicity. My first hour guest, I don't know if you had a chance to hear him, he was talking about trying to get a little old lady her $45,000 back. Apparently, 21, 22 years ago, her departed husband was ill, got a cashier's check from his money market account or a mutual fund, never cashed it, and now the bank's gone out of business. She can't get the thing cashed, and he's trying to get it. The guy is Joseph Meyer, who's on the back of your book.
Yes, Joseph Meyer is a good friend of mine. He's good people. He's got a heart of gold.
Yep, he's trying to get her money back somehow. He's tracing it. He's saying that if the check wasn't cashed, then the funds have to be somewhere. He's going all the way back to the FDIC now, and maybe he'll be successful for it.
Oh, I don't have any doubt in my mind that Joe Meyer won't get her money back. He will get her money back for it. He is a phenomenal talent as a mediator and arbitrator. And when corporations see him coming, they just say, okay, how much you want?
Yeah, exactly. To the phones we go, west of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Good morning. This is Jennifer. I'm calling from Medford, Oregon.
Hi, Jennifer. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you both for your work. I wanted to ask you a question about that comes from the creature from Jekyll Island,
mm-hmm.
and it's a little bit of a maybe a larger question, but do you think that our current policies are a plan to basically increase social control in this country? I mean, we're overspending on this war on terrorism. We have destabilization of the dollar, huge deficits, and it looks to me as if they're trying to make Americans more willing to accept a lower standard of living. As you said, we're preoccupied with survival now. We'll have less education in the future. It's too expensive now. And basically, we're dismantling social programs like they're trying to, like Social Security. And in exchange, I think we're going to get more bureaucratic intervention in our lives and possibly more social control. And can you address this from that perspective?
I most certainly sure can, and thank you so much for your call. You're absolutely correct. The standard of living is being reduced in our country today. This is why Congress does not have the intestinal fortitude to implement sane border policies. I mean, it's insane. I'm not against immigration. I welcome anybody that wants to come to America and work, but we do need to restore some sanity to our immigration policy. You know, the Fed is going to continue to raise interest rates and try to guide the economy until something cracks. They've raised interest rates some 11 times over the last 50 years in an attempt to bring the economy to a soft landing, and it's never happened. We're going to first begin to see the turmoil emerge in our financial markets, and then it's going to ripple through the rest of the economy. Alan Greenspan drove interest rates down from 9% in 1990 down to 1% in 2004. Now we're seeing the pendulum swing the other way. You're absolutely right. We are going to see a reduction in our standard of living because we're going to see a wave of foreclosures across this country like we haven't seen in the near future. You got junk bonds out there that are extremely vulnerable. The real estate market, I mean, the whole country right now is at the precipice of falling off into the abyss. And unless some sanity is restored, we're in big, big trouble, and it all spells for an erosion of the quality of life. This is not the America I grew up in and the America that you grew up in and our parents grew up in. The potential for prosperity itself is evaporating.
It's going to take people with guts, Andre.
Absolutely, and that's why I wrote my book. I mean, no matter what it cost me, if it cost me my life, then, hey, whatever. I love my country enough. You know, Martin Luther King said, if you're not willing to die for something, then you're not fit to live. And I just feel just that passionately about this subject. I hate seeing people on the treadmill having to work so hard and never be able to get ahead. And I understand what is the root of this problem. It's the malign monetary construct that exists inside the Federal Reserve System.
Let me tell you something. We have had several guests on this program who have been murdered who have died after their appearance. And I'm not saying that this program had anything to do with that in terms of their exposure, but we had a Dr. Eugene Malov who was on the program, and he's talking about alternative energy, free energy, and he ends up being murdered in a case still not solved. And it just goes on and on and on. Father Malachi Martin, his death under suspicious circumstances, was a guest of Art Bell's years ago. It's just very strange, Andre.
Yes, it is. I mean, people don't understand. I mean, it's a very dangerous thing to talk about the things that we are talking about. But I put my trust in God and my Creator. And I'll just have to try to just continue. I want to live like everybody else. And I just feel that it's important. I have a case that I can't help it. You know, the hand of God is guiding me, and I will continue to do His bidding. I'll continue to do His good work. I only wish good things for America. You know, all my uncles fought and died for this country, and they wished good things for America. And that's all I wish, is good things for us to be the type of country that the whole world looks up to. And I know that we can be that country again, if the people will just understand that we are a part of the government. We are the government. We form the fourth systems of checks and balances in this country: the judicial, the legislative, and the executive branch. And then it's we, the people. We must rise up to our responsibility. I just want to raise awareness as to what the problem is, so that if there's ever a major monetary crisis in our society, the people will have some clue as to what to ask for. That's all.
Wildcard Line, you're up with Andre. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Eric from Tampa Bay.
Hello, Eric.
Hi, George. You continue to be the classiest show and classiest guest on the radio. I just got to tell you.
My
question is very brief. Salmon Chase, you mentioned earlier, as far as helping the South out.
Mm-hmm.
Was the Aaron Burr shooting and killing of Salmon Chase in any way related to that?
I thought Aaron Burr killed Alexander Hamilton. Alexander Hamilton was the prime instigator. He was an agent of the Rothschilds here in this country that set up the First Bank of the United States. It was our second failed experiment with a privately owned central bank. He was shot by Aaron Burr.
Oh, so Salmon Chase was not even related to that?
No.
And have you known of any people who have been conscientious objectors to the IRS and gotten away with it?
Yes, I have met people that were conscientious objectors. Most of them end up into trouble. You know, I tell people, you know, try to obey the law of the land. Whatever the law says for you to do, you do it. And that's my spiritual background that tells me to do that. I just don't want people to get the truth confused with a lie. At least they can allow us to have the truth. If they won't allow us to have prosperity in the country, then at least allow us to have the truth. Don't lie to us.
Andre, your charisma is reminiscent of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I got to tell you.
Thank you, sir.
Amazing. Thank you.
I'm honored.
Okay, thanks, Eric.
Goodbye.
Appreciate you being part of the program. Where do you go from here, Andre? What's next? I mean, you have speaking engagements.
Yes,
what's
I'm
next
going
on
to be at the 2005 Health and Freedom Rally in Newport Beach, and that's this weekend, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday out there, and everybody should come out, and if you get a chance, and attend this. There are going to be a host of speakers there. Representative Ron Paul is going to be there. He's going to be speaking on the Patriot Act. We're going to have Bob Schultz of We the People Foundation. He's going to speak. My good friend Anthony J. Hilder is going to speak on what really happened on 9/11. I also have three other books that I'm writing. The outlines for these books are done. They've been done for a couple years now, and I'm going to work these in the Temple of America under the Federal Reserve System until I believe that, you know, as many people are going to buy the book and become enlightened are enlightened. Then I have another book. It's called What's Done in the Dark, The Rise of the National Security State Apparatus in This Country. Most people don't understand that national security was something we created in 1947. It started out to be a civilian advisory committee to the president. Now it's become the command outpost for covert operations, backdoored out of the White House. I have another book. It's called 21st Century Slavery, America Under the Prison Industrial Complex. We are all compromised by this. Prisons are taking the place of the normal economy in our society today. You take a town like Quincy, Florida. If it weren't for the Gasson Correctional Institute, this place would be
nothing.
It'd
be a ghost town.
Unemployment.
Yep. First time caller line. Welcome to the show. Hi there. You're on Coast to Coast.
Yes, Clint Nielsen here in Winnemucca.
Hi, Clint. And that's in Nevada, right?
Yes, okay. Winnemucca, Nevada. A couple things for your call. I really enjoyed his comments. But there's two things I'd like to bring up here, and that's promissory notes, which most Americans get involved in when they purchase real estate, houses, property, commercial, anything. How the banks create that money. It's intriguing, and it's actually fraud, outlawed fraud in the court system today. They alter the documents, and they create the money off the promissory note to loan back to them. And that is just so simple that every American almost has bought a house anyways, through the banking system, has had that fraud committed against them in America today. And that is, when the interest rates go down, there's new money put into the economy, and that weakens the dollar, and it causes all sorts of problems with the economy. And I feel that there is something that American people can do about that. We talk about what can the American public do at this time in this awareness. Well, first off, we need to realize the problem which you've brought forth, and I've really enjoyed your comments once again. Number two, they can go in and fight the system through eliminating their mortgages. There are several websites. One is freethefarm.com. One is mortgagefreein60days.com in 60 days.
All right, how about a question, though? I'm running out of time.
Well, the question is, do you see that as a problem that America should be involved in fighting against? Is their loans, their mortgages, and do you see that to be a fraudulent act when they alter documents after you've signed them?
Absolutely, 100%. And the mortgage industry is in serious trouble right now. But as I talked about in the beginning of the show, the companies that are beginning to take over most of the mortgages in America, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, these are government-secured enterprises that will be bailed out. And you have laid out one solution. Pay down your debt. Get out of debt. Don't be like Congress. Resist the lust of your eyes. Buy that you need and that you don't need. Stay away from it. Get rid of your credit cards as quickly as you possibly can, because debt is just as great a menace to the American people as a nuclear weapon or some army trying to come.
Donald Trump once said, cash is king.
That's right. He hit it right.
Depending on what bank, of course, gives you the cash, right?
Absolutely.
Wildcard line, it's your turn. Hi there.
Good morning, George.
Yes.
Hi. Good morning, Andre.
Good morning.
The top of the last hour, you guys were just talking about China and Taiwan and the possibility of World War III even coming from that. And it just came to my mind that since Clinton was in the news again, that if he, because he had given them the missile technology, I was wondering how crucial you thought that was for, him getting the money to get reelected back in 96, how is that going to affect us in the future?
Well, the same way it has affected us in the past. We've always helped to finance our enemies. We got to remember that the Cold War was extremely costly to the American people. We spent more money building up the greatest military the world has ever seen as a method to assure peace and stability in the world. And Europe chose to do it off the establishment of a European economic cooperation or cooperation between the countries, a European Union. But we financed the Soviet Union. It was Wall Street that set them up. Jacob Schiff recruited Trotsky, and they trained these revolutionaries in New York. They sent them there. The Tsar Nicholas was assassinated, and the Soviet Union of Socialist Republics was set up. We've always financed our own enemies because, our country operates off of a military-industrial paradigm, and unfortunately, war is profitable for American banks and corporations. It keeps them in business.
Well, I was going to say, a long time ago, a crusty old newsman took me by his wing, Andre, and he said, just whenever anything happens, ask yourself this, who benefits?
Absolutely.
No matter what, just look at the whole picture, not the short picture, and say, who benefits? I got to ask you this before we go back to more calls. Since the very horrible tragedy of 9/11, have some companies and individuals in this country, have they profited from that very horrible situation?
Absolutely. I mean, the Chinese have profited because they got most of the steel from out of the building, and it's going to be shipped back to us pretty soon in the form of cars. We're going to see a wave of cars coming in from China in the future. It has to be, because America is going to consume everything that China makes, as long as China continues to purchase our bonds and finance these huge deficits in America. Politicians are going to knuckle under and allow them to do it. But there were put options that were made on the World Trade Center, I mean on American Airlines, just prior to 9/11.
Yes. Now, somebody sold that short.
I'm sorry?
Somebody sold that stock short.
That is absolutely correct. And I mean, for the volume of options that were put in on American Airlines would clearly indicate that somebody could have possibly had prior knowledge to what was going to happen. And there has not been a investigation by the Toothless Security Exchange Commission, in my opinion, sufficient to satisfy the anxiety of the American people over events like that.
Well, if they were able to find and nail Martha Stewart for some kind of like a $60,000 blunder on her part, this group of whoever did this short selling of also insurance companies made hundreds of millions of dollars. You've got to believe that the SEC knows who they are.
Absolutely.
Or has tracked them through the brokerage companies and said, what accounts did you buy these for? They know who they are. Why won't they tell us?
They won't tell us, you know, and even the landlord of the World Trade Center complex, I believe his name is Larry Silverstein, he made a lot of money into the billions of dollars in insurance claims on the World Trade Center complex, the entire complex there. So, you know, it's once again, I mean, we're in a plutocracy, really. We don't have a democracy, not in the classic etymological sense of the word. We have a government of the rich, by the rich, and for the rich. And once all of the American people, no matter what your background, once we come together and realize that we are involved in a great class struggle in our country and begin to unite, the better off we're going to be.
It is amazing how these things can happen under the guise of democracy, under the guise of freedom for other nations, when other companies on the side are making so much money while this is going on.
You're absolutely right. I mean, it's a crying shame, and Lincoln's admonishment, his warning to this country, has now fully materialized.
So was Eisenhower's warning.
Absolutely. So was Eisenhower's warning about the military-industrial complex. You're absolutely right.
Well, we're on the same page on that. Andre, we are out of time. I want to thank you for a blistering fast 3 hours.
Thank you so much. This has been a great blessing. And let's just continue to keep America in our thoughts and in our prayers. And hopefully the hand of God one day will assuage our anxieties.
Well, as long as the people understand, I think this country will stay fully intact. Thank you, Andre. Appreciate
it. Thank you, George.
For Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition as we talk about serial killers, out-of-body experiences on Thursday, and then open lines and a best of on Friday, because I have to go somewhere on assignment. I'll tell you about that tomorrow.